Okay, now if I could bring us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Now, there's several things here that you probably need a background in if you are going to get the full message of what Paul is conveying here. Number one, you have to go back a few verses and see that there was disappointment in Paul's life prior to him making this declaration of thanksgiving. That disappointment was that he came to Troas and he expected Titus to be there, and so he didn't find Titus. And so there was worry on his heart, anxiousness in his heart. What has happened to Titus? Is Titus okay? Is Titus still being faithful? Any of those thoughts could have drifted through his heart, but there was disappointment there that he found. The second thing is what he describes as a triumphal procession. I need to take a moment and describe that to you so that the rest of what I'm saying hopefully will make a little more sense to you. There was a practice in Rome that when a conquered enemy was brought before the people, the general of the conquering army, Rome, would be led through the town in a procession or a parade, if you will, of glory and admiration for what he has done to conquer the enemy. Conquered enemies would also be a part of that parade or that procession. There would be spices and various good-smelling things that would be burned and cast out along the way as an offering, as a sweet-smelling aroma of the offering that they would give in thanksgiving to their gods, as they were thankful that these enemies were now going to be vanquished. That procession would be led to a temple where a white bull would be sacrificed to the god. And it was the temple of Jupiter. And they would also execute some of the conquered enemy that were being led through this town in this parade. Others would be sold into slavery as a way of further demeaning their enemy. And so that is the triumphal procession that Paul is describing here. Now, let us go into this, how he says that we are the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. We spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. If you were to picture this procession coming through town, Paul is saying that we are glad participants in this procession. As I explain this procession, as I explain this parade, it was a parade to glorify the conquering military power, the conquering general. Here Paul is saying that the people of God, having been conquered ourselves by the power of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, now are willing participants in a triumphal parade of Christ that we spiritually partake in. We are led by Him through the world in a way that mimics, and be careful, we can't take this illustration too far as we are applying it to the spiritual realm. But Paul says, in essence, we are being led through the world in a spiritual procession to honor and glorify Christ as the conqueror. And we spread the sweetness of the aroma of Christ with us as we go. We spread those sweet-smelling herbs and spices into the air so that the aroma of this victory can enhance the victory that is had. I'll get it out in a moment. Thank you. And so Paul says we are willing participants in this as he leads us in this triumphal procession, spreading that fragrance of the knowledge of Him. In Christ's sacrifice of Himself, it made it possible for us to be claimed by God. Scripture teaches us that Christ, that all things will come under the dominion and domain of Christ, that the keys to the world will be His to give. And that is coming ultimately at the end of time as we know it. But right now, the work of Christ, the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ is conquering. And it starts with individual hearts. You and I, the evil within us was conquered by Christ. When He hung upon the cross, that evil was conquered. Now, we might say that I'm too evil to turn my heart over. We might say that the things that I've done in my life are way too bad for Christ to change me or for me to give my heart to Him. And that is a lie straight from Satan, because he wants you to think that way. Because he wants us to be defeated in a sense that we are not participants in the victory parade of Christ. We are that defeated adversary. We have no joy. We have no hope. We have no expectation of goodness and blessings from God. That's what Satan wants us to think. He wants this stuff that happens to us in the world, this stuff that happens to us in our personal life, the memories that we have of the evil things that we have done. He wants all of that to continue to fill us, to ruin our hearts, to fill us with that attitude of being a defeated army. Because then we have no fight. We have no spirit. We have no desire. And when an individual gets in that state of mind, then he can be easily conquered. One of the things that keeps us in the fight is continuing to unite our hearts together on Sundays and in other times during church service. And that's why I encourage people attending church and Sunday school and other times is so important. You see it on TV, if you ever watch these nature shows, when a group of predators is trying to overcome a prey animal, and especially if this is a large prey animal, they don't attack the herd. What do? They try to cut one out of the herd. And they go after that specific one. Because one is vulnerable. The herd would not be as vulnerable as that one animal. And so they try to cut that one out. And so sometimes because of what is happening within us, and we listen to the whispers of Satan in our ears, and we live our lives in a defeated way, we cut ourselves off from the herd. And we make ourselves susceptible as prey to that roaring lion, as the book of Peter describes him, who goes about the earth seeking to devour. And as I shared with you one time, a roaring lion announces his presence. So we know that he is there. And so we need to be aware of this. Coming together as God's people gives us strength, gives us encouragement, gives us the refreshment of spirit that we need to continue on in these weeks, to continue on in these days. And so I want to encourage you in that. That's why church attendance is important. And so as we are being conquered, as the sin within us is being overcome by the conquering Spirit of Christ, we willingly partake, if you will, in this spiritual procession of being in that glorifying parade of Christ's conquest, proclaiming to the world His power, proclaiming to the world His rule. And so Paul is thankful that he has been conquered by Christ. He is thankful that his life has been offered to God through the sacrifice of Christ. And so he writes that he is now that pleasing aroma of Christ's sacrifice to God. But then he goes on to say that to some it is a fragrance of death, and to others it is a fragrance of life. Put yourself in that procession in historical Rome. If you are a conquered enemy and you are being led down the streets and you hear the cheering of the crowds, you see all of the fanfare, you hear their general being lifted up in praise to their gods, you smell the aroma of everything that's being burned and cast before them as a gift of praise, a sweet-smelling offering. To those whose life was being spared, and to those whose life was being praised, that same aroma was an offering of joy, was an offering of life. But to those that were being executed at the end of that procession, that aroma then was an offering of death. So hold that thought in mind for just a moment. To those that were being spared and praised, that aroma of that sacrifice, of that gift, a fragrance gift, spoke of life, spoke of praise, spoke of honor. But to those same participants of that parade that were going to be executed, what they were smelling that day was the smell of death, because they had been defeated and they were going to be executed at the end of that parade. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's saying here, who is sufficient for these things? What he means is, who can bear to speak about these things? Who can bear to preach these things? What things is he talking about? Isaiah says in chapter 6, and he said, go, God is telling Isaiah, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. What God is telling Isaiah there is that, Isaiah, I want you to go preach and I want you to go prophesy. And he said, I want you to leave the results of that to me. I want you to go deliver my message to these people. And he says, I'm telling you right now, some of them are going to hear and they're going to believe. Some of them are going to hear because their hearts are going to be made receptive. But others are going to be turned away by what you're telling them. But don't be deterred in the mission that I'm giving you. That's what he's saying to Isaiah. Now what Paul is saying here in this scripture is that who wants to have that weight on their shoulder? The ministry of this pulpit, and I'm not using a personal pronoun here, because it applies to any pastor that stands behind this pulpit. Any pastor that ministers in the hearts and lives of this church and in other churches. Any pastor that loves you and visits you and cares for you and prays for you and delivers messages to you and teaching sessions to you. Paul is saying, who is capable of standing up under the knowledge of knowing that God is using those same words delivered to soften some, and some will be hardened by it? That's what this passage is saying. That message that the ministry of this pulpit delivers to churches around the world, that message goes out. And God uses that message, and in some hearts, those hearts are just turned to God and they're softened by the act of the Spirit, and they receive that word, and it's like that good, rich soil that those seeds fell on in the parable of the sower. And they find good root systems, and it's a deep, rich soil, and they find everything that they need there for that crop to grow and to flourish. But others are just like those rocky places or those thorny places. That same seed, that same word is planted. But according to the wisdom of God, that same offering of love, that same offering of forgiveness that is ours in Christ, some are turned away by that. As I shared with the children, that's so many fragrances in the world. And I know if you're like me, some fragrances are pleasing to you. And some fragrances, you would rather not smell them. And I'm not talking about dirty things. I'm talking about things they sell in stores. And that's the offering of the work of the delivery of the message of God that Paul's talking about here. As he goes out and as he is preaching, as he is teaching to all of these different cultures, that same message of love is going to go out. That same message of forgiveness that is ours in Christ. That same message of the assurance that we can have in our faith that we will have eternal life. That same message is received by some, and that same message hardens others. And so the success of a pastor's sermon cannot be determined strictly on positive outcomes. Because Scripture says that the negative or hardening responses also accomplish the will of God. And that applies to you who sit in the pews as well. The work that you do here in this church, I'm asking you not to be discouraged by it. I'm asking you not to look at it as, what does it accomplish? It accomplishes the purposes and the will of God for His glory. And you may get discouraged from time to time. You may think, what difference does it make? I've only got one or two. Or I've only got a several. Or nobody will hear. Or nobody will come. Or nobody will help. And so these words apply in the sense of, we do what God is asking us to do. And if one comes to your class, then you pour yourself into that one. If three come to worship on Sunday morning, then we pour ourselves into those three. It means that we spread the fragrance of Christ. And we trust Him with those results. And we're not discouraged, but we are encouraged that God is using us in such a strategically important way in His kingdom. When we pray prayers for others to be delivered from the bondage of sin, and we see no results, and we see like everything we say to that person is going in one ear and out the other, we continue to deliver the message and trust God with the results. We continue to wear the fragrance of Christ and trust God with the results. And Paul's saying, it is a hard mission that God has given His people. But it is a mission that accomplishes God's purposes. It is a mission of love for all of us who bear the fragrance of Christ and share that fragrance with others. It is an offering of love. The same way as those fragrance bearers went as part of that procession, and they made sure that the incense was burning and all of those sweet-smelling aromas, whatever they had in those days, and they would spread it out. That's what we're doing. We're spreading that out. And some are going to receive that fragrance, and they're going to know that they're going to be seen as a fragrance of death. because they're going to be turned away by it. And others are going to receive that fragrance and they're going to fill their nostrils with it. And they're going to receive it in joy and gladness. And it's all for the purposes of God. And he says, we are not like so many, Paul here, peddlers of God's word. Some share that fragrance for misguided or wrong reasons. Some share that fragrance. Some get behind pulpits for their own glory, for their own enhancement. And I'm not here to judge anyone. But even in Paul's day, there were those that pursued fragrance bearing, if you will, for their own personal gain. And he warns against those. And he says, I'm not like that. I am here to bear the fragrance of Christ. I'm here to share that fragrance with you because it is an offering of love that I have to give to you. It is an offering of praise to my God who has conquered the evil within me and who can conquer the evil within you if you just come in faith. A lot of people don't give God the chance. And it's so frustrating when you're talking to an individual or you're pleading with an individual and they want to go out and conquer the world and they've got all of these grand and glorious plans and they won't give God a chance to help them or enhance them or to transform them, more importantly. And so for us who are fragrance bearers, how we live in front of others, how we speak in front of others, how we conduct our affairs in front of others, what we post on social media in front of the world, all of that bears a fragrance. All of that bears a fragrance. Because we Christians are the fragrance of Christ in the world. And so, this sounds odd for me to ask you this, but what is the, how do you smell to the world? How do you smell to the world? Be mindful that you are that aroma. Share that aroma. Understand that in what we do, there will be some who receive that aroma in gladness and hold on to it as something precious. And there will be others that will be turned away. And there will be others that will just be indifferent. And in essence, that's a turning away. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. But the main idea here is that we share the fragrance. We wear the fragrance. We are the aroma of Christ to the world. We are the aroma of Christ to the world. And we are to share His fragrance. And we are to trust the results of sharing that fragrance to Him. So once again, don't be discouraged if it seems like all of your efforts are in vain. Satan is just waiting there to whisper in your ear, what difference does it make that you get up and go today? Isn't it okay? Nobody's going to listen to you anyway. They're going to forget what you say right after you say it. Or they're too tired or whatever he wants to tempt us with. And so that message gets drilled into our ears by Satan over and over and over again. But what is the truth? The truth is that Christ says, share me with others. Trust me enough to wear my fragrance. Trust me enough to share that fragrance because you love me and because you want to praise me and honor me and glorify me. And we know that means making him look good, right? Make God look good. Make him smell good to the world. And trust him with the results of that. That's the essence of this. And I hope that's been an encouragement to some or all of you this day. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you thanking you that you have taken care to include in your word these little snippets of encouragement, knowing that sharing, living, experiencing within this world, there's so many traps for us to navigate as your people. And so we thank you for each little snippet of encouragement that you have left for us along the way. May we be encouraged by this passage this day as the image of that procession walking through town, spreading the great fragrance of victory. May that be our chosen desire, that we share the smell, the aroma, the fragrance of victory in Christ with the world in which we live. And we ask this in his name. Amen.